Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Music Review. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about music from such sources as the New York Times, the News and Observer, the Week Magazine, Rolling Stone, and Entertainment Weekly. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning appointment, please call 919-779-1755. This program is designed to provide the latest coverage of classical, folk, jazz, blues, rock, country, and pop music news. But first, these musical trivia questions. Today's trivia questions come to us from the December 2025 issue of Radio Times. Question number one, which music legend won the Nobel Prize for Literature in 2016? Was that A, Hank Williams, B, James Taylor, C, Paul Simon, or D, Bob Dylan? 2016, Nobel Prize for Literature? Who was that anyway? And question number two, what was the name of the 1957 prison drama starring Elvis Presley? Was it A, Folsom Prison Blues? Was it B, Jailhouse Rock? Was it C, Sing Sing? Or was it D, Kissin' Cousins? 1957 prison drama starring Elvis. What was its title anyway? The answers to these two important trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. Our transitions come to us from the website onthisday.com, and today, quote-unquote, is the weekend of January the 16th. Well, it was on this very day, back in 1944, that the first jazz concert was held at the Metropolitan Opera House in New York City. The performers were Louis Armstrong, Benny Goodman, Lionel Hampton, Artie Shaw, Roy Eldridge, and Jack Teagarden. First jazz at the Met, today in 1944. And it was 30 years ago today, 1996, that Wayne Newton performed his 25,000th Las Vegas show, today in 1996. 25,000. In country and bluegrass music news, we have this article titled, How Steve Martin and Allison Brown Accidentally Made a Star-Studded Eclectic Bluegrass Album. The Grammy-winning banjoists welcome Vince Gill, Indigo Girls, Jackson Brown, and more on the new project. This article is written by Jessica Nicholson, published on the 17th of October, 2025, in Billboard.com. It was incredibly organic, Brown said, seated backstage with Martin, as the two prepared to co-host the International Bluegrass Music Association, IBMA, awards last month in Chattanooga, Tennessee. We just kept writing songs, and then at one point we realized we had enough songs to put a bow around it to make a record. The two had previously collaborated on Foggy Morning Breaking, an interpretative tribute to Earl Scruggs' classic, which was included on Brown's 2023 album, on banjo, and spent 13 weeks at number one on the bluegrass charts. It was really just us communicating by text and working it out, Martin recalled. She sent me this beautiful music and asked, "Can you write a few bars?" So I worked on that. We put the song out, and it went to number one. And that kind of made me like, wow, a number one bluegrass song. So then we wrote Bluegrass Radio, about a guy who is so happy that his song went to number one. From there, they slowly began adding to their collection of tunes, including the bluegrass and country melding, Somber, Heartbreaker, Wall Guitar, Since You Said Goodbye, with lyrics by Martin, music by Brown, and vocals from Country Music Hall of Famer Vince Gill. I've known Vince since he moved to California when I was a kid, and he was like 19, Brown said, and I've known him that long. We just thought he'd be perfect person to sing it. He's the king of Nashville for a reason. He's one of the most generous musical spirits there is. Gill isn't the only generous musician on the album, a 12-song set that is built around friendship and musical respect. The project also features Jason Mraz, Jackson Brown, Jeff Hanna, Indigo Girls, and Delia May. Though Martin insisted it was never designed to be a guest-heavy record, the good news is neither one of us are really singers, so with any song with lyrics, we'd have to say, well, who can sing it? The album's sonic tapestry is anything but restricted, ranging from the bossa nova inspirations of Michael to the tropical-leaning Statement of Your Affairs with Jason Mraz. Both Martin and Brown bring their distinct musical legacies to the project. Brown became the first woman to win an IBMA Instrumental Award when she was named Banjo Player of the Year in 1991. She co-founded Compass Records with her husband, Gary West, in 1995, building it into one of roots music's most respected independent labels. She's released 12 solo albums and won a Grammy for Best Country Instrumental Performance in 2001 for Leaving Cottondale, her collaboration with Bella Fleck. Texas native Martin, a 5-time Grammy-winning comedian, actor, writer, producer, and musician, found his love for banjo as a teenager, inspired by the Kingston Trio and Scruggs. Early on, he began using the instrument in his comedy routines. In 2001, he won his first instrumental category Grammy for a performance of Foggy Mountain Breakdown alongside Scruggs, Gill, Marty Stewart, and Jerry Douglas. His 2010 album, The Crow, New Songs for the Five-String Banjo, won a Grammy for Best Bluegrass Album, and 6 of his projects have topped Billboard's Top Bluegrass Albums chart. In 2011, Martin and Steep Canyon Rangers earned the IBMBA's Entertainer of the Year award. The song Dear Time, with Brown, provides a personal, gratitude-filled reflection on the passing of years. The tune's music video was filmed at the revered Troubadour in West Hollywood, an especially meaningful venue, as both Brown and Martin played there early in their careers. I wrote the song when I was 79. I've since turned 80, but I said I should theoretically be able to write a song about aging without being bitter, Martin said. The idea of a letter to time came to me because when you write a letter to somebody, you're illogical. You're not angry. Martin's renowned quick wit served as the inspiration for Girl, Have Money When You're Old, featuring the Indigo Girls. Thinking of career advice, I said, have money when you're old. I remembered it later and was like, it's kind of funny, but it's true.
¶¶
And in jazz music news, we have this article titled, Playing It Cool. The AI Overview says Playing It Cool with Miles Davis refers to his landmark Birth of the Cool sessions, 1949-50, which defined the cool jazz style, a departure from bebop's frenetic pace with slower tempos, richer textures, and classical influences, featuring unique instrumentation like French horn and tuba, and culminating in the iconic album released in 1957. The key aspects of cool jazz include stylistic shift, a reaction to bebop emphasizing relaxed, melodic, and understated arrangements rather than frantic improvisation. The instrumentation, the Miles Davis Nonet, used unusual instruments for jazz at the time, like the French horn, Gary Mulligan, Gunter Schuller, and tuba, Bill Barber, creating a unique choir-like sound. The arrangements, developed in rehearsals with pianist Gil Evans, the music blended modern classical ideas with bebop harmonies, featuring intricate voicings and space. Key personnel featured musicians like Lee Konitz, alto sax, Jerry Mulligan, baritone sax, Max Roach, drums, and arrangers like Gil Evans and John Lewis on piano. The album itself, recording, the music was recorded in three sessions between 1949 and 1950. Its release. Initially released as singles, the tracks were compiled into the album Birth of the Cool, released by Capitol Records in 1957, giving the style its name. Its impact. It was a pivotal moment in jazz history, influencing a new generation of musicians and establishing cool jazz as a major style alongside bebop and hard bop. And in music research and technology, we have this article titled, Listening to Music Has a Surprising Impact on Dementia Risk, Study Shows. This is written by Jess Cockerill and published in ScienceAlert.com on November the 9th, 2025. Listening to music into old age could reduce the risk of dementia by almost 40%, a new study has found. It's based on data from 10,893 Australians age 70 or older who, at the time of recruitment, were living in retirement communities and had no diagnoses of dementia. They were asked about their music listening habits and whether they played an instrument. Folks who, quote-unquote, always listened to music, as opposed to never, rarely, or sometimes listeners, were 39% less likely to develop dementia after at least 3 years of follow-up, and were 17% less likely to develop milder forms of cognitive impairments. They also perform better on tests of general cognition and episodic memory, which is important for recalling everyday events. Those who were regularly picking up an instrument to make music were 35% less likely to develop dementia, but unlike in other studies, there was no significant improvement for other kinds of cognitive impairments. People who both listened to and played music had a 33% reduced dementia risk and a 22% reduced risk for unrelated cognitive impairments. Education levels seemed to play a role, too. Music engagement benefits were strongest in those with higher education, 16-plus years, but showed inconsistent results in the middle education group, 12 to 15 years, the study's authors write. The paper's lead author, public health researcher Emma Jaffe from Monash University in Australia, says these results suggest music activities may be an accessible strategy for maintaining cognitive health in older adults, though causation cannot be established. While we don't know for sure if listening to music can really stave off dementia, hearing loss is a known risk factor for dementia, and research does show hearing aids can reduce cognitive decline. So it can't hurt to keep your favorite tunes on rotation. Listening to music activities, and it activates a whole range of regions across your brain. Monash University neuropsychiatric epidemiologist and senior author Joanne Ryan explained in a radio interview, and so that's really giving you that cognitive stimulation, which is beneficial to help reduce your risk of dementia. Now, this research was published in the International Journal of Geriatric Psychiatry. And in rock and pop music news, we have this article simply titled, Backbeats, A History of Rock and Roll in 15 Drummers. This is written by John Logan. It's a book review that's published in Amazon.com on the 11th of November, 2025. A Rolling Stone magazine Best Music Book of 2025, this is an electrifying journey through the history of rock and roll, told through the lives of 15 iconic drummers and their percussion rivals, from John Bonham and Charlie Watts to Ringo Starr and Questlove. Rock and roll thrives on rhythm, but the drummers who drive that pulse often stay in the shadows. In Backbeats, acclaimed music historian John Lingan brings these unsung heroes into the spotlight, delivering a fascinating journey through six decades of rock history. Lingan's deep research and vivid storytelling explores the lives of 15 path-breaking drummers and their fellow timekeepers, men and women who together laid down the beat of an era, from Bernard Purdy's legendary work with Aretha Franklin to Dave Grohl's funk and punk indebted swing for Nirvana. These drummers redefined what was possible in pop music. Iconic figures like Ringo Starr, whose inventive style transformed the Beatles, and Charlie Watts, the steady backbone of the Rolling Stones, take center stage. But Lingan doesn't stop there. He also shines a light on groundbreaking, underappreciated talents like Maureen Tucker of Velvet Underground, whose minimalist beats rewrote the rule book, and Sam Lay, a pivotal figure in rock's evolution from the blues. Packed with insider stories and exclusive interviews, from Robert Plant's reflections on Led Zeppelin's legendary sessions to superstar recording engineer Steve Albini's behind-the-scenes accounts, Backbeats offers an eye-opening glimpse into some of rock's most unforgettable moments, including the seismic shift of Dylan going electric at Newport, James Brown's explosive creation of funk in the late 60s, and the birth of L.A. thrash metal in the early 80s. More than just a tribute to an unrecognized group of virtuosos, this book is a love letter to the art of drumming itself. Backbeats shows how these remarkable artists not only kept the beat, but drove rock and roll forward. It's a must-read for any music lover, offering a fresh and thrilling perspective on a story we only thought we knew. And in local music news, with a classical touch, we have this article, Upcoming Concert, Ulysses Quartet. Sights and Sounds, ChamberMusicRaleigh.org, Session and Season 84. This is at the North Carolina Museum of Art on Sunday, January 25th, 2026 at 2 p.m. Ulysses Quartet, that consists of Christina Bowie on violin, Rhiannon Bannert on violin, Peter Dudek on viola, and Grace Ho on cello. Coming up next weekend. So how did you do on today's trivia questions? Well, the answer to our first question, which music legend won the Nobel Prize for Literature in 2016? Was that A, Hank Williams, B, James Taylor, C, Paul Simon, or D, Bob Dylan? And the correct answer is answer D, Bob Dylan. As noted in an AI overview, Bob Dylan won the 2016 Nobel Prize in Literature for, quote-unquote, creating new poetic expressions within the great American song tradition, making him the first songwriter to receive the award. The Swedish Academy honored his lyrical artistry, comparing his work to that of Homer and Sappho, recognizing his profound impact on poetry and culture through his music. The Nobel Committee recognized Dylan's lyrics as significant literary works comparable to poetry, highlighting his mastery of metaphor, rhyme, and storytelling within his songs. He's seen as a poet who uses music as his medium, continuing the tradition of oral poetry found in ancient epics. While initially silent, Dylan later accepted the prize, delivering a lecture and emphasizing that his songs, like great literature, are meant to be heard and experienced. And the answer to our second question, what was the name of the 1957 prison drama starring Elvis Presley? Was that A, Folsom Prison Blues? Was it B, Jailhouse Rock? Was it C, Sing Sing? Or D, Kissin' Cousins? Correct answer, answer B, Jailhouse Rock. As noted in a 2025 AI overview, Jailhouse Rock by Elvis Presley originated as a concept song for the 1957 movie of the same name, written by the famous songwriting duo Jerry Lieber and Mike Stoller. Intended as a humorous, tongue-in-cheek number for a jailhouse production scene, the song, featured in a memorable prison dance sequence, tells the story of Vince Everett Presley, a musician who finds fame after serving time, becoming a defining anthem of rock and roll's rebellious spirit. Key points of the backstory include: it was commissioned for the film. Lieber and Stoller were given the movie script and tasked with creating songs for specific scenes, leading to the iconic jailhouse number. humorous intent. They aim for a jokey fun song similar to their hit Yakety Yak, but it became a straight-ahead rock and roll anthem. The movie's plot? The song is central to the film where Elvis's character, Vince Everett, discovers his musical talent in prison, leading to stardom upon release. Memorable scene? The film's elaborately choreographed prison dance is one of the most famous musical sequences in music history. Subtle double meaning. The lyrics like, "You're the cutest jailbird I ever did see," have been noted for subtle undertones intentional by the writers to push boundaries. And its massive success. The song became a huge hit, topping charts in the U.S. and other countries, cementing its place as a classic. However, let's close out today's program with one of the most famous drummers of all time, who was mentioned in the articles read in today's program. Here's Gene Krupa on drums with the Benny Goodman Orchestra performing the song Sing, Sing, Sing. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Music Review. Be sure to tune in at the same time next week. This program's also available as a podcast after the broadcast in our website, ncreadingservice.org. As we leave you now, remember these words: kindness is a language which blind people see and deaf people hear. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. If you have a suggestion for music to feature on this program, please leave a message for me at 919-832-5138. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Music Review, underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning appointment, please call 919-779-1755. So long, until next time.